today I'm excited about taking you to the last chapter of the Gospel of John, chapter 21. And today we're going to look at the very last miracle of the Lord Jesus prior to his ascension. And today we're going to think about Jesus, the shepherd. He is our shepherd, the one that we are to follow. But also in this passage, he's going to give us some information about how we can shepherd others and how we can help others be better followers of the Lord Jesus as we go through this life. And frankly, this is going to lead to fulfillment and satisfaction, really finding our purpose and place in this world, why we were created, why we were saved and called into God's family. So come along this journey with me, and we're going to pick it up in verse 4 of John chapter 21. Let's set the scene right now in the Scriptures. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw because of the multitude of fish. Sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? And Jesus wanted it to sound familiar. This is after the resurrection. The disciples are back in Galilee at this particular point. And they decide this morning they're going to go fishing, going to catch something for breakfast. Jesus on the shore, they're out on the water. Well, this takes place. He calls and says, "Do you have any food? Have you got anything to eat?" And they'd caught nothing. He says, "Cast on the right side of the boat." They cast, and suddenly here it is again. Just like that we looked at a few weeks ago in that first catch of fish. They are drawing this in and pulling this in. You see, there's three areas of awareness that we need to have if we are going to be following the shepherd and we're going to be used of the shepherd to shepherd others. And the first area of awareness is this, is an awareness of his presence, an awareness that he is indeed with us. And frankly, we know from Scripture what he has promised, that he is with us at all times. He is to give us strength. And you understand that without him, as he said, In John 15, he said, "Without me, you can do nothing." But in his presence, we can do all the things he asks us to do. And we can walk in victory over sin. We can walk as servants of the Lord. We can have joy and peace and comfort and just tranquility in this life, no matter what's going on out in the world or going on in our immediate circumstances. So he is here with us, an awareness of his presence. Now, he purposefully, and we'll see why in just a little bit, he purposely sets this up to take them back to the beginning. The first miracle of the catch of fish, remember they've been fishing all night and Jesus uses the boat to preach a sermon and he says, "Let's go out." And Peter says, "We've toiled all night and caught nothing, but I'll let down the net." And suddenly the fish nets are breaking and two boats are absolutely swamped by the load of the fish that they caught. And Jesus calls them to a deeper level of discipleship. And it says that they left that business, they left everything, and they followed him, discipleship, following the shepherd, if you will. So what are how do we get this awareness of his presence? Well, he comes and he speaks to them. He asks them a question, and they answer him. They say no, and he says, "Cast on the right side of the boat," and they cast. I don't know if there's any significance to that, except he is giving them direction, and he knew what was to be and what was going to be. And suddenly, here's the fish. There was this dialogue between them and God. And that's the first thing I want to say. It is through prayer. How do we have an awareness of God in our life, of Jesus in our life, his presence with us? We have this ongoing dialogue with him. Now, there is that sense in prayer where we get alone with God and we just devote ourselves to a season of prayer. Perfectly fine. It should be in play in our lives. But we can just continue that dialogue as we go. Whisper a prayer here. Offer a little praise there. Take note of something that he's done and give him thanks. Just to say, "Lord, you had to be in that. You made that." Just this constant, ongoing dialogue with God in prayer. I want to encourage you today. This would be a good day. Don't put this off. Don't wait. Practice this today. Just don't let too much time go by in your living to just have some conversation with him. Tell him what you're feeling. Tell him what you're thinking. Tell him what you need. Tell him what you're learning. Just have an ongoing dialogue with him in prayer. It's sort of this tie to us and to him. And he does it in this sense of, "Hey, what are you doing? Do it this way." And then they respond through prayer. Don't ever underestimate the significance of prayer in our life. But secondly, it is through listening. They listen to what he said. They could have said, like they could have said in the earlier fish event, miracle, we know more about fishing than you do. And they didn't know it was Jesus because there's some distance. To them, it's just some random guy on the shore. "Hey, you got any fish?" Maybe they thought that there was someone wanting to buy some fish or maybe someone looking for a handout. someone panhandling perhaps, but they do it. They cast it in. So they cast, and now they can't bring this net hardly into the boat. They were not able to draw it. They have to, in essence, drag it to shore. They listened. Not only should we get an awareness of God's presence, Jesus' presence with us through prayer, but secondly, through listening. First of all and foremost, it comes from listening to what he tells us in this book. That's the reason we're spending this time together in this video format, to share God's word. And that's what I've had the joy of doing really all my adult life, to be a teacher of this book and to proclaim it. And I recognized early on that was God's call in my life, and I'm so thankful for it. There's no one better or more important in the family of God. We just have different roles, and this is the role God has for me, and I enjoy it thoroughly. And I also enjoy it thoroughly when I can have a dialogue and an interaction with you. And thank you. And feel free to leave your comments and your questions. We'd love to have that interaction. Obviously, it'd be much preferable to have this interaction in person, but I'm thankful for this means that we can have this interaction around God's Word. But listen to what he says. Listen to the Spirit's nudging. Simply, it comes down to this: Lord, I'm ready to listen. Whatever you tell me to do, make sure I hear it. Make sure my heart is right and I hear it. But thirdly, it's through observation. Through observation. When they saw what had happened, something happened. Go back to the text in verse 7. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard this, that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. And the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. And as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and the fish laid on it, and bread. Peter reacts. He doesn't wait for everybody else. I sort of wonder what would the other fishermen in the boat think? Hey, we're really struggling here. Into the water he goes, and he swims over. But he couldn't wait to see Jesus. Why? Because in this miracle of the fish just miraculously appearing and filling the net, it took him back to what had happened before. It took him back to that moment when Jesus intersected with his life, and he knew it was the Lord. He observed what Jesus could do. Are you observing what Jesus can do? Well, obviously we do it through the Word of God. But what's he done in your life? How has he changed you? How has he sustained you? How has he healed you? How has he directed you? How has he forgiven you? Just make note of those things and observe them. And to observe what's going on in the world. You know, sometimes we know what God is doing. We know what Jesus is up to. Sometimes we suspicion it. Sometimes we just get little clues and hints. He doesn't have to reveal everything to us. And certainly we don't know everything. Obviously, but we need to observe what he's doing. Spend some time every day just giving yourself this mental space to say, Lord, what do I see you doing? What are you all about? Where are you leading? What great things are you up to? So what are those three things that give us awareness? We get awareness of his presence through prayer, through listening, and through observation. The second area of awareness is through patience. Verse 10, Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. By the way, that might be an additional miracle. Verse 12, Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of them dared ask him, "Who are you, Lord?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Verse 15, so when he had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, stop there for a moment. Now, they have this breakfast, this time of fellowship. Jesus wants to be with them. They have this great time of fellowship. Breakfast is prepared. There's fish and a fire and bread and everything that they would enjoy around this seaside breakfast and this time of great enjoyment. But then, in the midst of this meal, after they're enjoying it, Jesus looks at Peter and says, Simon Peter. That's what he says next. Simon Peter, and he begins to ask him a question. Simon, son of Jonah, let me ask you a question. We'll see that in just a moment. But you think about this. Now, the last time they had an encounter sort of one-on-one without the greater disciples, and there are other disciples, but Peter's kind of called out, singled out, kind of like hearing over the intercom your name in school time saying, your name, please come to the office, or the boss saying, I need to see you in my office now. It's kind of like gulp moment. Why? Because it all goes back to the story that you find in John chapter 18, where Peter denied the Lord, not once, not twice, but three times. He denied that he even knew him. He caved under pressure. He broke his own promise to Jesus that he would never deny. He was willing to die for him. And because of his fears and his own cowardice, he failed miserably. I suggest to you that what is about to transpire is Jesus giving him a second chance. And that takes us to this next stage, this next awareness. We need to have an awareness of his patience. If we're going to follow him, we need to know he's very patient with us. He's very patient. He's very patient with Peter. He doesn't say, Peter, one and done, you're out. You messed up. There's no recovery. You are so bad, Peter. You were so lousy in your performance that you can never, ever serve me again. That's not the Savior we serve. He is the God of the second chance and the third chance and however many chances we need. Why? Because second chances are needed. It was needed of Peter because of what he had experienced and how he had performed. But the great news is when those second chances are needed, Jesus comes. And what does Jesus do? He welcomes him to breakfast. He has a gentle but firm conversation with Peter that we'll look at in these next few verses. But not only are second chances needed, second chances are given by our Lord. Are you in that stage where you're just like, Lord, I really need a second chance. I have so messed up. The great news is, as a believer, God just says this, confess your sins. Tell on yourself. Just say, I admit it, I did this or I didn't do what I should have done. And he says, the scriptures say in John, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That being the case, he will restore us. Now, there might be some sins or some situations in life or some damage or injury, whatever, that maybe we can't do what we once did for our Lord, possible, but there's always room in God's kingdom for someone to serve, even the beat up and the battered and the sin-stained people that we are, because he wants to wash away all those stains and restore us. And he has a place for you, to place of service for you. He has a place of usefulness for you in his kingdom and in his church. Don't listen to the lie that our enemy likes to whisper in our ears. You're not good enough. You did that. How can you speak for God to those people? How can you be a testimony to anyone when your life has been such a mess? How can you be a follower of God when you have those thoughts? Well, he leverages our own imperfections to discourage us. Jesus takes our imperfections and he forgives us and he restores us. Have an awareness of this, his patience. You ever think how patient are we with other people? We may give someone a first chance, second chance, third chance, maybe four or five, but at some point our patience wears thin and we're done. We are done. We're not going to take this anymore. Well, I'm glad our Lord is a lot more, infinitely more patient than we are. Need a second chance? He's there for you. And maybe your second chance is simply this. You've tried to run your own life. You've thought that you could somehow make things better for you and whatever your intention was in life. But you realize there's something futile about that, something that isn't working. Maybe it's even working on the outside. Maybe you have a good job, money, and all the things people think you should have, but there's some unrest and some lack of peace on the inside. It's that space that only God can fill. The second chance you need is to stop serving self and not stop pursuing things selfishly, but to come and submit to him and accept Christ as your Savior. The great news is he died on the cross for you. Yes, you, individually, by name, he knew you. He died for you. And the great news is there's a big price been paid for you. He paid the price that would wash away all your sins. The wages of sin is death, and he died on that cross, not for himself, but as a substitute for you. All you have to do is believe in that, accept that for you. Say, I'm going to turn away from this lifestyle of selfishness, and I want to follow the Lord. And Lord, I accept this free gift of salvation. If you need help and want to talk to someone about more about what that means, just contact us, calvarywv.com/talk. It'll take you to a page with contact information. We'll talk to you by phone, in person, email, chat, whatever works for you. But we'd love to share with you how you can become a follower of Christ. Or maybe you're ready to do that right now. Maybe you've just been putting it off. Maybe there's something been in the way. Maybe you thought you'd been too bad. Maybe you thought you could still do it on your own. Cry out to the Lord. He's ready to give you the ultimate second chance and make you one of his children and draw you unto himself. Well, there's one more section. This kind of gets to the meat of the shepherding and us helping others in the shepherding process. But we need to, first of all, have an awareness of his presence, an awareness of his patience. And thirdly, we need to have an awareness of his purpose. Like, why are we here? Why do we exist? Why did he save us? Why, after he has saved us, why has he left us here? All those questions are going to kind of flow from this reality of his purpose. Let's get back to our text. We left it off in the middle of verse 15. Let's read all of 15 again. So when they'd eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." And he said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to me, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." An awareness of his purpose. There's two pictures that Jesus paints very dramatically in this scene. One is of fishing, and one is of shepherding. And both of those roles is how we cooperate with Jesus, who is the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the shepherd of our souls, the one who, as a shepherd, leads a flock of sheep in safety and into places of provision. He is our shepherd. But he also calls us to be shepherds as well. Now, obviously, there are some who are specifically called and placed in the family of God to be a shepherd. Whenever we use the word pastor, that's just another word, a synonym for shepherd, one who shepherds a flock. But all of us have some shepherding to do. Well, how does this work? This awareness of his purpose. What's he wants us to do? First of all, we have to understand part of this is bringing others to Christ. That was the fishing. Remember the last time this miracle happened of catching a great bunch of fish? Jesus says to Peter, says, "From now on, you will catch men. You're going to be a fisher of men. You're going to go out and bring people and net them and bring them to me." That's what our lives are about, bringing others to an encounter with Jesus Christ. That's the reason just a few moments ago that I included in this presentation a brief invitation that if you need Christ, you need to come to him, and invite you to do that now. And if you need more help, here's the next step. You can reach out to a pastor that will help you take that next step of faith. But we need to bring others to Christ. We need to pray for others that their hearts will be open to him. We need to be ready, in essence, have a little sack of seed in our minds and in our hearts, and always be scattering in our conversation, in the questions that are asked, in our demeanor, in our reactions. We're scattering seed to show people that we are different, not because we're better, but we're different because we know someone who is ultimately better, the Lord Jesus Christ. When they have questions about life and what's going on, point them to Jesus. When they have questions about their own hurts and needs, point them to Jesus. When they have a little bit of curiosity about your story, point them to Jesus. You know, it's as simple as every opportunity. Maybe when you send that note, put a scripture reference. Say, "Here's something I read in the Bible today. Why don't you come and join me for church? It means so much to me to have this encounter with God. I'd like you to experience it too." However we can scatter seeds, because bringing others to Christ, that is the first responsibility of a shepherd, to be a fisherman. And then he goes into this metaphor, this picture of shepherding. Look at verse 15 again. When they'd eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." There you see the lambs. You see the shepherding component. With that in mind, he's drawing him to this conclusion that not only is our purpose to bring others to Christ, we need to do that desperately, but we don't stop there. We need to make sure we as a church don't stop there. But we teach, we instruct, we guide, we enable others to be a mature follower of Christ, to help others grow in Christ. That's part of our purpose. We do that by our living. We do that by our directing, our guiding, our loving. And he asks him three times, or he says to him three times, to feed my lambs. He says, "Feed my sheep, feed my sheep." The feeding is nutrition. And if sheep are going to grow and thrive, they need good nutrition. We do that through the Word of God. You might say, "Well, I don't have a flock. I'm not a shepherd." Do you have any children? You have a flock. Do you have a spouse? You have a flock. Do you have grandchildren? You have a flock. Do you have some people in your life? You have a flock. Do you have a church family? You have a flock. You have a role to play in helping others mature in Christ as you pray for them, as you offer words of encouragement, as you minister to them in their hurting. He talks about feed my lambs first, the little ones. You ever think about babies. I mean, babies are wonderful. I've often said it's a great way for people to start. Think about a little baby, like a baby lamb, but a human baby. All they have are needs and the ability to let you know when they are not believing their needs are being fulfilled. I mean, frankly, if I had a choice, I wish all babies came potty trained, able to feed themselves, and slept through the night. Obviously, you know, none of those things are true. But the little ones, the ones who've just come to Christ, they need maximum care and concern to come alongside, to get them in place. And maybe you're that person in someone's life to disciple them, to instruct them in the Word. You say, well, I don't have all the answers. You have a few more answers than that baby lamb does. All you have to be is one step ahead to be a leader and have someone follow you as we together follow Christ. So help others grow in Christ. And he says, feed my sheep, tend my sheep. You watch over their safety. You give them good nutrition. You can be a conduit through which the Word of God flows. And we make much about that in our church because we really believe that's central to all we do and all of our ministries. We believe that's the key to healthy families, healthy individuals, and a healthy church. And hopefully, as we influence the community, a healthy community. It all starts with serious study of the Word of God and seriously teaching and instructing others in the Word of God. This is not playtime. This is very important time that we spend in God's Word. So may God help us to be teachers and communicators of the Word of God. And you can find a role to play in that. Lastly, this awareness of His purpose is to bring others to Christ, yes, to help others grow in Christ, secondly. But thirdly, it's all motivated by one simple thing, and that's our love for the Lord. Did you notice in this passage that we just read together that he asked him three times, Simon, Peter, son of Jonah, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me more than these? He's probing his love. You don't see this in the English, but in the original language, and this comes to us originally in Greek, which was the common language of their day back in the first century. But there's different words in Greek for love. We just say love, but there's different levels of love. There's the one Greek word, agape, and it's stated here in a verbal form, agapao. He says, do you agapao me, love me? But Peter answers with a different word. He answers with the word phileo, which is sort of like brotherly love. So it's like high-level love, God-like love, divine love, superior love, or brotherly love. And Peter, in his humility, and maybe he's still feeling the guilt of letting Jesus down, he comes and he uses that lower level. Peter, do you love me with divine love? Well, I love you like a brother. Do you love me with this divine, God-like love more than these? I love you like a brother. And then the third time, Jesus switches the terms and uses the same term that Peter is using. He says, do you even love me with this phileo, this brotherly kind of love? And that's the reason he reacts the way he does. And it says, Peter was grieved, verse 17. Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? In other words, he's saying, you said you love me this much. You've loved me this much. And he asked, do you even really love me that much? I think the three times that Jesus asked the question sort of as a reflex to the three times that Peter denied him. And Peter confesses his love. And I can feel for Peter, but I love how he says at the end of verse 17, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Well, we have to love him. Why do we love him? How do we love him? Well, because he first loved us. He died for us on the cross. He saved us. He's put up with us. He gives us those second chances. That being in play, that being the case, he says, feed my sheep. And he simply ends, let me look at verse 18 one more time, one final verse. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. And when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you whether you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, last two words of 19, follow me. God wants you and I to follow him. He is our shepherd. He is our Lord. We follow him. And if we're really going to follow him, we need awareness in these three areas, an awareness of his presence. He's here. We do that through prayer, through listening, through observing what he's doing. Secondly, an awareness of his patience. We need a second chance, and thank God he gives us that, always gives us that second chance if we'll just come clean. Thirdly, we need an awareness of his purpose. Our purpose is to be a fisher of men, to invite others to Christ. Our purpose is to help others grow in Christ. Our purpose is motivated by love. This would be a good day. This would be a great moment right now, just in your own heart of hearts, to tell your Lord that you love him. He's loved you with this everlasting, godlike, perfect love. and we want to love them in return. And we want to express that by helping others come to Christ, and we show it through helping others grow in Christ. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. To follow Him, we need to know of His presence, His patience, and His purpose. May God take those truths from this book and implant them deep in your heart, and may we be great followers of the Lord Jesus Christ.